collection of writings in the little booklet of the same name, Guarding Our Hearts, Guarding Your Heart, actually. Are there any who didn't receive a copy this morning that need one? I have, as a starting point, Psalm 119, verses 1 through 16. Listen to the emphasis that is put on our heart here. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Now, it's an interesting point there. They that seek Him with the whole heart do no iniquity. When do we sin? When we fail to seek Him with our whole heart. So you want to gain victory over sin, there it is. Seek Him with the whole heart. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with the uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in Thy precepts and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word. The keeping and right managing of the heart is, in every condition, is the great business of a Christian's life. And we have started there each week, that a quote by John Flavel. Arthur Pink says on page 33 of the booklet, the heart of man is his worst part before it be regenerate, and his best part afterwards. It is the seat of principles and the source of actions. The eye of God is, and the eye of the Christian ought to be, principally fixed upon it. The great difficulty in conversion is to win the heart to God, and the great difficulty after conversion is to keep the heart with God. Herein lies the very pinch and stress of religion. Here is that which makes the way to life a narrow way and the gate of heaven a straight one. We speak this morning of some benefits of keeping the heart. Do you have those that you admire in the Christian faith? I think we do. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as it done in moderation and balance. We have those heroes, if you will, of the faith. Some are dead and gone. Some are alive, perhaps. Have you ever wondered what's different about that person? Why does he or she seem to be steady when I am so volatile? Have you ever wondered that? That godly person, why does that dear lady have such a calmness in her soul, even in the midst of tumultuous waters? Why does that old man seem to be unshaken when everyone around him is fumbling about in nervousness and anxiety? Here's the answer. It is the keeping of the heart. And there are real life-changing advantages and benefits from that are derived from keeping the heart. And one of those being, number one, the understanding of the deep things of God. As we read the Word of God, with our hearts guarded, the language of the heart is understood. We read about real people, and don't ever think, especially maybe you're young in the faith or you're a young person this morning, and we so exalt the Word of God, and rightfully so, but let us not forget that these are real people that are talked about, and real people's lives. They're not any more redeemed than we. They still had that traitor within that Arthur Pink speaks of. We see their experiences, and it becomes less of a story, some literary work, and it becomes more of an experience with us. It becomes a common experience as we see that these are real people dealing with real situations, dealing with the conflict in their souls between that old man and the new. And as you dig deeper into the Word of God, the Holy Spirit enlightens and we start to understand the deep things of God. The difficulties that we face, they wouldn't make light of them this morning, but sometimes it seems that as we are walking with God in close fellowship, and the difficulties crop up, it seems, have you noticed that it seems that often they're solved quicker in our minds? And then you realize maybe that wasn't such a difficulty after all, as you understand God and grasp the deep things of God. Sorrows are related, and comfort is received as we read the Word of God, as we hear the Word of God preached. Keeping our hearts on God, the things of God become real and precious. The realness, for lack of a better term, of the nature and effects of faith. You know, there are things that you experience in your walk with Christ that maybe you can't even relate. Maybe you can't explain it, but there are times when you pray perhaps a very simple, quick, but heartfelt prayer, and the Lord just seems to answer it right then. Have you had that happen? And the closeness that you experience with Him, what is that? It's faith in action. That's faith being strengthened. The preciousness of Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, becomes real to us. And then as we lift up the songs and worship, It's not a matter of Josh or Kenny up here trying to get us revved up. We don't need a praise band this morning. Because if our hearts are kept and we are close with Him, then the words of the song and the spirit that is the corporate worship is lifted up. Oh, it brings tears. Or it does to me. Does to you too. And we see that Christ is not only just in name, He is a person and He is precious. keeping our hearts on God. And we have the sweetness then of the communion with God. How often have we entered the doors of this place and forgotten to consider that God has promised to be here with us? Well, it's Fellowship Sunday. We've got to get the deviled eggs. That happens, doesn't it? It happens. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of looking forward to the deviled eggs. I won't lie about it. We're bringing them. Didn't we bring them? Oh, no, we didn't bring them. Go home and get them. Did anybody bring deviled eggs? All right, I love you. Looking forward to the deviled eggs. I don't mean to make light of that. But today we commune with Him. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to it. And as we keep our hearts, we guard our hearts. The distractions, the sinfulness of worldliness that so plagues us so often is kept aside, and we enter here looking for the communion with Him, and that becomes precious to us and real. Keeping our hearts, thirdly, makes us more suited to embrace and apply the many chapters of the Bible. We read the book of Job, for instance. These are examples that Mr. Pink gives. Job's travail and faith. And perhaps for the first time, as you go through the struggles and you're in the fire, you're in the valley, as it were, perhaps for the first time you've read Job and you can so relate to what he's going through. Lamentations won't be dull, but convicting. Romans 7, instead of getting caught up in the controversy that is in Romans 7, we read it, and as you walk close with him and as your heart is guarded, you see yourself in Romans chapter 7. Oh, wretched man that I am. Those things that I would do, I just don't do. And those things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. It becomes real, the Word of God. It becomes personal to you. It becomes alive, living. It becomes effective. The language of the Psalms will bring us closer to Him. Here it is that Mr. Pink says this, then it is you that will have the key which unlocks many a verse that is fast closed unto the masters of Hebrew and Greek. Sometimes the Word of God is ministered to you and by the Holy Spirit of God, that no Greek scholar, no Hebrew scholar could ever expose it. It's just real. Just like we read in Psalm 119. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? It becomes real, doesn't it? So, in keeping our heart, one of the benefits is understanding the deep things of God. Secondly, a benefit of keeping the heart is the best evidence of sincerity. He said it this way. What he means is, as we keep our hearts, as we struggle, here is evidence of sincerity. Be thankful for the struggle. For the fifth or sixth time in this study, we say it. Be thankful for the struggle. If you are mourning over heart conditions and sins, that is something no hypocrite does. Did you get that? That's his quote. If you are mourning over your heart condition, be thankful for that struggle. The keeping of the heart is the key to assurance. He that is negligent in the keeping of his heart is generally a stranger to spiritual assurance and the sweet comforts flowing from it. That's on page 35 of the booklet. You struggle with assurance? Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Show due diligence in searching your heart. The Holy Spirit is known by His operations, and these are known by the graces He produces in the soul. And those can only be perceived by diligent search and honest scrutiny of the heart. That's page 35. Diligent search and honest scrutiny of the heart. Search me, O God. Are you comfortable praying that prayer? Search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And we have a benefit here. And the benefit is an evidence of sincerity when we take the time to search our hearts. If I'm a hypocrite this morning, what I will search and what I will try to fix and maintain is my appearance. If I'm trying to fool you today, I will make sure that I look the part. But if my heart, if my prayer is my relationship with Him, then the effort, the search, the struggle, the bearing, the laying bare, I should say, will be of my heart before Him. Search me, O God. Thirdly, a benefit, delight in spiritual duties. In other words, what we are called upon to do, to be busy about in the service of the Lord will not be grievous or burdensome, but it will be a delight. A guarded heart keeps stirred the listener or reader of the Word. It keeps him awake in church. A guarded heart makes for fervent prayer. Not formal or stale, but bubbling over and pouring out to God. I remember a Texas preacher in Kentucky, and he was the quintessential Texas preacher. I mean, big and gray suit and cowboy boots, you know, hair pulled back and greased down real good. And he told a story of preaching one Sunday morning, preaching his heart out. And the Lord was, it just seemed like He was there and the moving of the Holy Spirit. And He asked a man to close in prayer. And the man said, "Lord, now as we come into Your presence." And the preacher said he just dropped his Bible right on the floor and said, "Where do you think we've been for the last hour and a half?" Our prayer from a guarded heart is not formal or stale, but it is bubbling over and pouring out to God. And so our worship, as David says, my heart is inditing a good manner. Mr. Pink points out that this word inditing from the Psalm, Psalm 45, means boiling up, bubbling up. My soul is inditing a good manner. Let me ask you, as we take constant account of our own souls. Would that describe you this morning entering the house of God? Was there something bubbling up in you that you were anticipating the worship of the Lord? Oh, it should be. It should be. And I would not guess this morning as to what it is that keeps it from you or me. But whatever it is, let's get it out. Whatever it is that has kept you this morning from entering here with something that is the worship of God bubbling up in you, deal with it quickly. Lest when the troubles come, when the winds blow, you find yourself dashed upon a rock. Whatever it is. But as we guard our hearts, keep our hearts, as we draw close to Him and He to us, and the spiritual duty comes, what a delight it is. Number four, stability in resisting temptation. An unguarded heart is like a house with unlocked doors, an easy prey for the enemy. A house with unlocked doors. A watchful heart discovers and suppresses temptation before it comes in its full strength. You understand that? It suppresses temptation before it comes in its full strength. Some believe that, and maybe it's their experience, that when God saves, then all desire for ungodly things is taken away. Now, please stay with me here. I know there are some who have struggled with drunkenness, who have the testimony that when God saved them, there was never another desire for a drink. Praise the Lord for His grace. But it may not be the case for the next fellow. And so what does that guy do? Doubts his salvation. If he's around the other fellow much. But I'll tell you what he should not do. He should not go to the bar and pray the Lord would keep him from the alcohol. You understand what I'm saying? If your struggle, I'm just using alcohol as an example, whatever your struggle is, stay away from it. Suppress it. The thought. Suppress it quickly. Suggestions, unchecked, become vain imaginations. Vain imaginations, cherished, become powerful lusts. Evil deeds are powerful lusts manifested. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. A watchful heart discovers and suppresses temptation before it comes in its full strength. I'm just going to leave it there, but I believe it's clear what Mr. Pink is saying here. Number five. A benefit of keeping the heart is improving one's graces. That is, love, for instance, is nurtured in a guarded heart. Words are grace-seasoned when spoken from a guarded heart. Acts of kindness are less a duty and more a joy when performed with a guarded heart. Number six, profitable Christian fellowship. When there is contention in the church, you can be sure there are unguarded hearts. I didn't say disagreement. I said contention. You can be sure that someone's heart's not been guarded. And on the positive, as we guard our hearts, contentiousness, is that a term? You might want to put that down in the new glossary, Miss Alice. contentiousness somehow fades away. You see, a guarded heart is painfully and constantly aware of what he is without Christ. A guarded heart is less likely to speak up with a negative opinion. Well, I wish Josh would have sung something else. I wish Josh would have had his I's dotted and T's crossed a little better this morning. He'd have sung that song that the Holy Spirit told me we should have sung. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Contentions are gloriously absent when God's people have guarded hearts. Conversations are spiritual and edifying. Psalm 37, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. Humility, tenderness, and long-suffering toward others abounds as we are aware of our own sinfulness before God. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, as soon as you sit down to eat this afternoon, you rip and tear and shred and criticize. And no, you consider yourselves, you that are spiritual, restore. Restore. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest they'll also be tempted. You see, as we guard our hearts, then we are less prone to tear down and more prone to restore. Number 7, a benefit of guarding our heart is fitting us for God's providences. A kept heart stands ready to serve in whatever capacity God wills. Do you remember Korah? We've talked about Korah here. Preached on him, Korah. And remember what Korah's real problem was? I believe Korah's real problem was he was dissatisfied serving God as God designed. Remember, Korah was a Kohathite, and the Kohathites were not allowed to touch the most holy things, lest they die, God says. And the biggest struggle that Korah had was Moses and Aaron were Kohathites. Go figure. And on one hand, God says, you Kohathites, don't touch the most holy thing. Then he brings a Kohathite, Aaron, and makes him the high priest. Just not fair. I should be allowed to touch the holy things. I'm a son of Levi, too. You see, that's an unguarded heart speaking there. That's a sinful thought. And we see the result in Korah. A guarded thought is, God, if you never let me do anything for you, thank you for what you've done for me. If I never get to preach, if I never get to sing a special, a solo, if I don't have the talent to play the piano or teach a Sunday school class, Lord, I want to serve you as you've allowed. I want to serve you with the talents that you've given. A kept heart can handle prosperity. What do you mean? Well, we spoke of it a couple weeks ago when we spoke of the different seasons in our lives, and then we mentioned Proverbs 30, which give me neither poverty nor riches. And the fear of Agur was that if God blessed him too much, he would take the name of the Lord in vain. But a kept heart can handle the good times. A kept heart can endure the bad times as well. Philippians 4, Paul says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. A kept heart can resist pride. Number 8. Removing ourselves as stumbling blocks. There is a benefit of a kept heart. We should be aware, and this came out in Wednesday night's prayer meeting a little bit from a couple of the men. We should be aware that people are watching us. That's a heavy responsibility. People are watching us. Our coworkers, with Brandon, are watching us. And we are ambassadors for Him. A kept heart will keep you from being a stumbling block to them. That is, doing no harm to the cause of Christ by hypocrisy. It has always amazed me, frankly, that your co-workers can speak of the most vile and ungodly things. They can share their weekend experiences and things you don't even want to hear. But they catch you in a small white lie. I'm using that from their perspective. And boy, all the fury of hell comes down on you. Have you noticed that? What's going on here? They know. They know who you are. They know what you say that you are. And they're watching for you to slip up. If you slip up, that gives them more comfort in their rebellion against God. If you stay strong with a heart that's guarded and kept, oh, it brings conviction on them. Let us do no harm to the cause of Christ by hypocrisy. Giving no occasion to the naysayers by our inconsistency. Showing the world Christ in us. I love this verse, Acts 4:13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. Showing the world Christ in us. And so we wind up our lesson this morning with just some closing shots here, some parting thoughts. And that they are more of a review from our lessons. The first lesson, we talked about God's exhortation to us to guard our hearts. And it's put in other ways. And we listed those in lesson one. Setting the Lord before us. Seeking His face. Fixing our hearts. Keeping our hearts. Binding His Word. Stirring up ourselves to take hold. Taking up the cross, or our crosses as it were. Exercising ourselves. Pressing toward the mark. Diligently seeking Him. Keeping ourselves. This guarding of the heart should be done with diligence and with much prayer. And Mr. Pink winds up a section of the booklet with this prayer. Lord, Thou requirest me to keep my heart with all diligence. And I feel utterly incompetent for such a task. Such a work lies altogether beyond my poor, feeble powers. Therefore, I humbly ask Thee in the name of Christ to graciously grant unto me supernatural strength to do as Thou hast bidden me. Lord, work in me both to will and to do of Thy good pleasure. We should thirdly be wise to keep a proper perspective in this work of guarding our hearts. A proper perspective towards God, and that is He is looking on our hearts, towards ourselves, and we are not to keep our natures, but to keep our hearts, and towards the seasons of our lives. In all seasons, whether abounding or suffering loss, we must, and may I say it, we may, guard our hearts. We must guard, as we spoke last week, wisely and warily, avoiding the pitfalls of the I can't help it, it's just the way I am or getting so involved in the work, whether it be a spiritual work, a ministry, or our secular job, that we fail to attend the weightier matters of the heart. This is a tall order this morning, guarding our hearts. Remember, we said there's not a moment in this work that we should sleep. There's no rest in this. But watch. Watch this last statement from the little booklet. God will shortly put a blessed end to these cares, watchings, and headaches. The time is coming when your heart shall be as you would have it. Or won't that be a blessing? When you will be delivered from all fears and sorrows. Then shall all darkness be purged from your understanding, all vanity from your affections, all guilt from your conscience, all perversity from your will. Then shall you be everlastingly, delightfully, ravishingly entertained and exercised upon the supreme goodness and infinite excellency of God. Soon shall break that morning without clouds, when all the shadows shall flee away, and then we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Hallelujah. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. It's good, isn't it? So thank God for the struggle. But let's keep struggling. Let's keep guarding. I will not be here next week. Lord willing, I will be flying home to attend to some things. Brother Kyle will be teaching Sunday school class. And then after that, our intention is to begin a study on the names of God. And I really need your prayer on this. The names of God. And I think it will be a true help to us and a blessing. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the heart that you've given is no longer stony but fleshly. Fleshy. I thank you, Father, that we have the desire and the drive within us to please you and the power over sin that you've given because of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, make us strong. Father, diligent and purposed to keep our hearts, to guard them. Father, that we may stand before you one day, hearing well done. And until then, may enjoy the sweet communion and the preciousness of your presence. Bless these people, we pray. Bless their homes. Bless Community Baptist Church now as we worship you together. Be in our midst, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.